don't think so.
No.
Then when I saw those reefers loading corn, I wanted to stop and think if I didn't have to do that anymore.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Well, we're looking forward to going, since I've never gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because last year I was out in Oregon.
Oh, okay.
During this time.
Dan's here.
Hi, Dan.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Yes, we're tearing along right into water tonight. Always a nice thing on hot summer days to get into water.
We've had plenty of water here.
Oh, really?
No, it has rained and rained and rained and rained.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know.
So we're compensating for all your dry weather out there.
Well, and we had some thunder showers up in Crested Butte yesterday. In fact, I chose poorly, deciding to take a bike ride from where we're staying up on the ski slopes to town as it decided to rain and hail. But I made it, no matter. So anyone else with us as yet? Randy had to run to Safeway to get a new calling card.
Magnus is with us, I believe.
Magnus, are you here?
He was earlier.
Oh, really? Well, hopefully he'll be back. Well, let's go ahead then. I'm going to light my candle and we'll just go right on. You all ready?
Ready? Yes, we are.
Oh, there's Magnus. Hi, Magnus.
All right. I had my phone on mute. I forgot about it. Thank you.
Okay. No worries. Child of wonder. Child of flame. Nourish our spirits and protect our aim. It's quite okay for you guys to say it with me, you know. Do you all do that?
I did. I was on mute, though.
Oh, I get it. So you're doing it, and it has all that force and resonance. I just was not hearing it. Okay. So, Jennifer, what did you notice with walking in beauty versus just in beauty? I greet you.
I picked up kind of a floating sensation in my lower back and my hips.
Mm-hmm.
Up a lot during the week. And when I went out among people, they were there, but nothing that could hardly, you know, affect me. I was very content with myself.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
And then towards the end of the week, I kind of hit that depression again, and it's starting to lift in that, but I was also doing the fireboxes, too, so I don't know. That's what I noticed.
Well, that's really good. Water will help you a lot with depression, because a lot of times depression is because our water is not moving. It's too still.
Well, I can stand it.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, really. And that's why walking in beauty often will help that. Maybe that's why it didn't stay with you too long. You know, it came and then it started to lift again. It's pretty hard to stay depressed if we keep our water moving. So, Dan, what was it like for you?
I couldn't verbalize what it was. It was, whatever was going on was so subtle, and I'm thinking changing. I never really tuned in on one particular thing or concept or feeling or anything. It was,
how did your week feel to you?
Even though it's been a very, from a business standpoint, a very busy week, I just kind of, everything just kind of, I took it in stride.
So it didn't drag you down into it?
No.
Right. See, in beauty, so what, then thinking about that, and what Jennifer said, and saying, okay, in beauty versus walking in beauty, what would you postulate might be different?
And I was walking through the turmoil of what was going on without having it really affect me.
And what would make that so?
Well, I think it was a combination of all the building that has been done up until this point. I don't think it was anything that just was specifically this week, but I think it's a culmination of everything that's been put together.
Well, that, of course, would have an effect. However, walking in beauty, even though we haven't really gone over the water characteristics, but you have had an opportunity to do that at an earlier time, do you recall that a moving water carries more fire than still water? Which was just what I was talking to Jennifer about depression.
Yes.
So walking in beauty would carry more movement and more fire than in beauty, would it not?
Yes, it would.
Yeah. So you're giving it direction and flow through the addition of walking in beauty rather than just in beauty.
Okay. So that would mean that where I may have tended to be more affected by circumstances when I was just had no motion, that the movement or the walking in beauty and the fire that was in that kind of, so to speak, parted the waters for me.
Yeah, right. It gives you more force. It's sort of using the Aikido principle.
I buy that.
Yeah. Magnus, what did you notice?
It's amazing. I have never experienced this all this time, but this very week, a lot of time, instead of greeting, I was thanking. I, at the point, realized that. I said, wait a minute, you know, I keep on still from time to time. Instead of greeting, I will thank. But a significant thing that happened, which came to conclusion this morning, was something I never, you know, wanted to happen. Then I humanly, I struggled, I made phone calls, and nothing seemed to be, you know, working out. just suddenly this morning, he just worked himself out. The fellow called me and told me it's not going to be possible, you know, to be on Little Rock. And the initial time, all the week, I didn't want to tell the fellow, say, hey, don't come, because I don't want feelings to be hurt.
Right.
But I never did any boxes or any form of grounding with regards to that, you know, to stop it or whatever. But the way I tried all I can, like I said, humanly possible, and surprisingly, the way it worked out, I never expected it. I said, wow.
So does that show you that it is really useful to apply magic to a situation, even more so than just our normal human endeavors?
Yes.
Because you see, you couldn't come up with a solution that seemed okay or appropriate non-magically. But the walking in beauty took care of it anyway.
That's what I thought.
Right, right. So if you're that capable, if you're that able to affect your world just by the exit ritual, walking in beauty, then how much more could you affect it doing message boxes or whatever? So perhaps that'll give you more courage or more inspiration when you're facing a life situation that you don't know what to do, to try something magical. At least I sure would.
You see, like in that situation, I don't think, I'm not saying that it focused so much in my mind, but it was like I got confused, kind of like something I can handle, you know, by personal contact, you know, calling on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But each time I get to that point, I will kind of back out because, like I said, I didn't want to hurt feelings. And
I understand. I understand.
Who likes to sympathize when somebody is having problem, but at the same time, within me, I know that I will not appreciate that visit.
Right. So you were caught in a sort of a must-win, can't-win.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't really know exactly if I was in such a situation, what can I do to stop it? Based on the training I have, you know, I have been through so far, that was when it came to my mind, but what do I do, you know, magically to put a stop to that, you know, instead of making phone calls? Maybe.
So what could you have done?
I thought about it. I did not really relate to, I was even thinking of grounding, you know, to ground the desire to come here.
How would you do that?
Using fire. But then I'm not.
Yeah, it would be hard to do that because you can't take fire away from him long distance very well.
Okay.
And that's aside from that, you don't have the permission to do that.
Okay.
That would be stepping over your bounds with rules of the road. So how could he have done it? Anybody, Jennifer? How could he? What could he have done?
Following here,
he had someone who was supposed to come and visit him or see him or something, and he didn't feel it would work well, but he was afraid to tell the guy not to come.
Oh.
So the guy then at the last minute, on his own, decided not to come, possibly because of the exit ritual walking in beauty, do you see? Magnus's feelings got relayed to the person anyway through walking in beauty. But what I'm asking is, what else could he have done?
speech boxes?
Exactly. That's what I would have done. I would have sent, because you all don't know the water bowl technique, but we're going to learn that next week, and that's ideal for this. But even so, you could have sent clear, white, and powder blue message boxes, don't come. Could you not have done that?
Could have.
But wouldn't it have picked up that negative, don't come? Or should you say play golf? Golf Sunday. Would that have been better?
It's possibly, but the thing is that we all operate in that yes-no mode a lot. And his greatest desire, apparently, was for the guy not to come. So in that case, I would just say, don't come. Because that would have your greatest force behind it, which is what you wanted anyway, Magnus, isn't it? Are you back on mute, Magnus? Hello? Oh boy, lost Magnus. Well, Dan, what would you have done?
I would have alternated between air and water message boxes to just make sure that I...
Yeah, and of course we haven't gone over water boxes, so he didn't have that available. But, yeah, it's good to plant the seed. And Jennifer, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think it is, if whenever we can do it as a positive rather than a negative, that's good. However, if you have a lot of force on or feeling on, I don't want you to come, maybe come later, come next week. I don't know. I mean, again, it's hard to say, but I would try something. But it worked anyway, which is cool. Randy, are you back? So Randy's not back. Okay. So for this coming week, we're going to do with interest. Sky above and earth below, with interest, I greet you. Because we're working in water now, and we want to see the different kind of aspects or qualities of water and how it works. A good part of our focus ability comes through water, which is what we're just talking about. So, Jennifer, what kind of things, did you do any things with direct fire handling that you want to share with us and how it worked?
I had a hard night. I tried to write all my notes down. And I got a headache and all that, and my jaw seemed hurt and that. And I did a lot of dreaming, and it seemed like I was chased. My dreams, I could remember, which I was chased by a six-legged moose, and an old boyfriend, and I hid away in a VFW and saved myself. And then I woke up, and I had a headache, and the jaws, and the teeth hurt, and the lower back, and the shoulders. I was pretty easy going. I'd rather gotten rid of the pain. So first I smashed some boxes of Sun Yellow in me. I figured that those were, it's pain that's always there and I'm always complaining about. And I did a motivator into my right jaw and a radiative in my left jaw. And on the top of my head I did power, and then I grounded out red orange in my foot, and then I did some powder blue clarity and mediator.
Mm-hmm.
And things got a little bit better. And then I started reading back through my notes, and put my foot under the fridge and I smashed the box of Yellow Sun Power back in my head, just mm-hmm. if it would flow through. And then I got really tired for 20 minutes. And then my teeth started hurting again. So then I started in red, orange, and I found that deep red helped relax things.
Okay.
And the motivator. And then,
so you did all this primarily with boxes, or were you doing some direct flow with deep red?
I did it with boxes. I used boxes mostly.
Okay. One of the things, the difference is that boxes actually move a fairly, relatively small amount of energy compared to direct flow. So once you've established, for instance, that to say deep red is helpful,
yes,
it would probably be a good idea to then direct flow deep red through the area.
So I would say put my hand, my output hand on the refrigerator?
Well, it depends on whether you were increasing your balances of deep red or decreasing.
Okay.
Because if you smash a box through, what are you doing? Are you increasing or decreasing?
Increasing.
No, you're not.
You're not?
Nope.
Oh, I thought you would.
No.
It decreases it?
Well, where does it end up? You've got your grounding on the refrigerator.
But if you're not grounding and you smash it, do you increase then?
You increase, but depending if you're smashing a box through, you're actually blowing it through an area, so you're using it as a force field, and it may increase in the lower parts of the body, but it's not going to increase in the upper. But it may also shift your balances some. But if you're, like you were talking about being on the ground and smashing it through, it's ending up in the ground in the refrigerator.
And it doesn't go through and do any good, huh?
I didn't say it doesn't do any good.
Oh, okay. Well, I also held my input hand in on the base of my spine. And my other hand on the refrigerator went through the colors then, too.
Okay.
And I could feel with, I went back to the notes on...
Why would you put your input hand on the base of your spine?
To draw the color through me. I was trying to get rid of that headache again.
Well, then you'd want to put your pulling hand on... Then in that case, I would put your pulling hand on the base of your spine and put your input hand on the back of your neck. You put your input hand on the base of your spine, right, and your output hand, where'd you put your output hand?
On the refrigerator.
Okay. So you're pulling from the base of your spine, grounding into the refrigerator. Yeah, that'll work.
I ran through all the colors, and I found that some of the colors just actually stopped. It didn't move. And then I found, too, that it was...
Okay, so when you find a color that stops, that's when you want to put black on yellow through.
Oh, okay. And does that, fill up what was left empty in there?
But it's not that. If when it stops, it means there's a blockage.
Oh, and then you should flow the yellow?
To break the blockage.
Oh, okay.
So in other words, you've probably got blockages up and down in various places down your spine.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Some colors will go through, other colors will not.
But they all should.
They all should, correct.
Okay.
Right. So if you're pulling through the base of the spine, in other words, i.e. down the whole length of the spine, and you get a color and it doesn't move, then build a sun yellow box, blast it through, and try again pulling that same color through that wouldn't flow and see if it now flows.
Okay. Right on top of my head?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yes.
When she's talking about pulling with her pulling in at the base of her spine. Where is she sending that once she pulls it?
Well, she had an output ad on the refrigerator. So she's circling it back through and at it.
So it's going back up, it's coming down her spinal column and then back up her spinal column and out.
Oh, no. Coming down her spine and then up her, say, left hand and across her shoulders and out her right hand.
Oh, okay. I got it. Thank you.
Yes.
So would it have been better if I'd have paid attention and when I felt it cross my shoulders, put it back into me in a blue color?
You could do that. Obviously, this is easier to do on someone else than yourself.
Yeah.
You know, but still, what you did is valid. And so you could either circulate it or clear it through. I mean, you've got an option, and the only way that you can really tell is how much you want to break the blockage primarily or how much you want to get rid of an excess. There may not be a lot of excess. There may just be blockage. So then in that case, you don't necessarily want to flow a lot of energy out of you. Therefore, circulating might be useful.
But you should flow each color, and if it stops, it's a blockage, and it
should
move.
Right. If it stops, then there's a blockage.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's good. I mean, your experimentation is really good.
I've been listening, Alan. I'm
okay, Randy, we didn't mean to leave you out, so did you want to, we'll go back to what we were talking about before that, which is what difference did you notice with walking in beauty versus in beauty?
All right. Well, just more of a connection. About all I can say is it's kind of a, kind of a thing where, you know, if I don't say it, I'll kind of miss it. And when I do remember to say it, well, it's just, I didn't notice that much difference, but just more of a connection, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what was your week like?
Well, my week was pretty kind of hectic.
Okay. As other people described also.
Yeah.
So, how much did that affect you?
Well, I think it reduced some my tension.
Well, I'm saying the hectic. How much?
How much?
Yeah, how much did your hectic week affect you?
Oh, it affected me somewhat, not as badly as probably the week before.
Okay.
Wasn't as bad as the previous week.
Okay. What are some of the ways that you notice hectic effect? What does it do to you?
Well, it kind of scatters my mind.
Okay.
Where I can't have difficulty concentrating.
So you lose your focus.
Yeah, I lose my focus. I tend to get more easily irritated and
okay, so your balance is shift.
My balance is shift, for sure.
Right, okay.
And
so good. So then, what was your focus like this week?
Well, my focus was better this week.
Okay.
Okay.
So the point that I'm making here is, as I mentioned before, and I don't know if you were back by then or not, when we were talking to Magnus, that walking in beauty gives more motivators or moves water.
Oh.
You know, and the more that you move water, the more fire it will carry or handle. You know?
All right.
So Jennifer was talking about depression. And
explain that one more time again.
Well, I will. I'm just going to give you a little more to look at.
All right.
When people are depressed, their water is not moving. Their emotions are stuck.
Okay.
So they don't feel vitalized. Their water is not having a very nourishing effect on their spirit, on their being, on their bodies, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But when you... It's sort of like having stale water and trying to drink it, and you don't feel very refreshed.
Okay.
But if you shake the water up or aerate it, put fire and air into it, energy into it, and get it more alive, more moving,
mm-hmm.
then it's more invigorating.
Yeah.
So... If you think about a stagnant pond or a swamp, it's not to say that things don't grow in it, and yet it doesn't have the same kind of energy in it that, say, Niagara Falls would.
Mm-hmm.
So, the even though we haven't studied water, we're going to do that tonight, but still in all, what I wanted you all to see by your experiences is that the more that your water moves, the more fire that you are able to utilize successfully.
The more your water moves, the better able you're better able to use fire successfully.
Right. Right. So rather than getting irritated or losing your focus or getting all off on some loss of force in terms of how you use your fire energy,
mm-hmm.
the more that your water energy moves, the more stable and resourceful your fire energy is for you.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Right. So,
what makes our water energy stop moving?
Well, not being in contact with it. Most people are living on their heads, wouldn't you say, Jennifer? In their minds,
uh-huh.
not in their feelings. So where we put our attention is where we determine our experience. So if you don't put your attention on a part of yourself, it is lacking in vitality. If you ignore a child, does that have an effect on that child?
Yes.
Okay, same thing. In our society, there is not much emphasis on our emotions. In fact, one of the things you'll notice is people rarely talk about emotions. They talk about feelings. They're not actually the same. I mean, that's a little more advanced than our study is right now, but still in all, just pay attention as we start studying water, how different you feel. I.e. the experience of your sensations, of your beingness, and so forth. And see what you find out. All of us. So then, Randy, Jennifer's talked some about her fire handling experiences. Did you do any direct fire handling of any kind?
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
Well, I tried, I can't remember if it was this week or last week, I tried throwing bolts. I also...
Had a candle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could you get the flame to move?
It was already kind of moving because my AC was on.
Sure. Yeah, it helps to do it in a still room. You can see more.
All right.
But still, it's good. It's good practice. Could you feel any flow going through you?
Yes, I felt it coming up into my shoulders.
Good.
And but then sometimes I had a hard time realizing when it was had built up in my elbow. I kept waiting for some sense of warmth or something to signal me when it was ready to discharge. And
yeah, right. And it was more difficult to feel that?
Yeah.
Right. Well, so you may have a blockage somewhere in the shoulder area, too.
Okay. I know one thing. My right shoulder has been hurting me for several days with a pain that kind of radiates down my right arm.
So that's where you're blocking.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't have anybody else to work on, but I was trying to figure out how to dump some of that block, I think it's red-orange energy that was in my shoulder, blocked up, I think.
Right.
How to get it out and undo the blockage, and I never could quite figure out how I would go about doing that, except maybe throwing down and downloading fire boxes.
Well, we went over that last week in class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's the direct energy handling I'm talking about. That would be what we talked about either circling the energies. Like Jennifer was talking about. Or just pulling from a source and grounding out. Now think about this. If you pull from a source, say you're going to pull red orange energy through you.
Mm-hmm.
One option, of course, is just to get rid of red orange, right?
Yes.
But that may not break up the blockage.
No, it didn't.
Okay. So if you went to a source of red orange, and you pull it through with your pulling hand, and you output it to a direct ground with your output hand, you're not getting rid of your own energy, are you?
No.
So that would be one way. And if that doesn't work, then stop doing that, build a sun yellow box, smash it into your shoulder.
Oh. Yeah.
And then try that same thing again.
Okay.
And see if you get a flow all the way through. So you felt warmth up to your shoulder area.
Yeah.
And then it blocked on your right shoulder.
Yeah.
So now you've discovered where your blockage is. Hmm. And so that's why your elbow never got it.
Ah. That explains it.
Yeah. And so... Now, when you practice, so do that first, and then practice with your candle flame in a still air room.
All right.
And don't try to build it up. Just let it flow all the way through you.
Okay.
You know, it's not like you're not loading your arm. That's a different technique. We'll do that when we get to wands and mathamis. But it's just like, can I get a flow all the way through me like I'm a fire hose?
Okay.
and get it flowing out the other side, and therefore get some movement of the candle flame.
Right.
Right? And so what you did is valuable, because now you know where your blockage is. It may have been blocked your whole life.
Hmm. But you, Jennifer was talking about taking her input hand and output hand and trying to direct the flow from the energy from the blockage point out.
Well, you can do that. In other words, for instance, could you not just, here's a trick for you could do. How about if you took your hands, held a red-orange candle in your hands, joined your fingers around it, and then just start a circle of flow. Up your left arm, cross your shoulders, down your right arm.
Back to the candle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah, so we're going to do that in water anyway with another person, but if you just think about it, there's ways that you can put this all together so you can get your own, since you all seem to be working primarily on yourselves. However, another thing you could have done that I noticed when you said, well, Helen decided she needed to rest rather than come to class, you could have sent her some yellow boxes.
Yeah.
And maybe she wouldn't have needed to rest.
Hmm.
Because you get a lot of energy from coming to class, too.
Definitely.
So we really have to sort of, we want to be on our toes a little bit, particularly with one another in class. And also, I suggested that you all find partners to work with. I think the other class is doing that. So really suggest you guys start calling one another or emailing one another and do some energy handling with one another if you're lacking on people to work with. I mean, you and Helen could work together. Dan, are you working with anybody yet?
No, I haven't.
How about you and Jennifer?
Anybody at all or anybody in class?
Well, I mean anybody in class.
Oh, no, nobody in class.
So anything wrong with you guys trading phone numbers? Jennifer doesn't have a computer, but you still can touch base on the phone.
Okay.
Jennifer, is that okay with you?
Yeah.
So you've got a class list, so just give each other a call. Say, okay, what can I do to work on you? What boxes can I send you? You know, so you don't have to do all this alone. And you can also ground out energies or pull energies right over the phone while you're talking to somebody.
I was going to ask Alan if it's more powerful, you know, with this person in person right there with you.
Yeah, but it's more powerful if you do it rather than not do it.
Yeah.
You all are never going to get confidence magically if you don't start working on people. I can tell you that.
Okay.
It's just going to be real conceptual for you. You won't get the richness of the experience. Because when you work on a person, like I was in Amarillo, Texas once, and I was visiting this couple, and they don't believe in any of this stuff. And I knew that, so I don't talk about it. But he's a great big guy, and he said, oh, I've got this pain in my shoulder, it's been bothering me for months, and my wife's been trying to massage it out, and it doesn't work. And I said, I can probably get rid of it for you. He said, oh yeah? Go ahead, you know. Kind of defiantly like, and I just pull some energy out and put it into an outlet and about half a minute and his pain was gone, never came back. How did you do that? What did you do? You know, and all that stuff. Well, I mean, so all of a sudden, he wasn't such a disbeliever.
I have a question.
Sure.
I see, that's the problem I'm having, like in the week, sorry to cut you off somehow, I did circulation, and that was all. I had a very busy week, so a lot of time I did dragon bread.
Okay, good. How did that work?
It worked great. But I never had the opportunity or privilege to work on someone because sometimes it's not easy, more of at work. Everybody's carrying a face, doesn't want you to know I'm down or it's
not. I know what you mean, right?
Having pain.
Yeah, I know that.
So, and I wasn't having any pain, but I was kind of not really in the mood to try, you know, something that I may end up in pain and if it doesn't break down.
I understand. Well, that's why I'm saying that it's really good to start working with people in class, even over the phone or remote, just to get some confidence. You know, when you are ready, the patient will come. So you get ready, you know.
You see, that's another thing I was looking at, but the rule of the road, you know, kind of prohibits me from doing that. Let me put it this way. Scientists use guinea pig, or, you know, until they test it on people.
Well, no, it's okay. But you can ask any of your friends or people at home, do you have anything that hurts I can practice on?
And they say, oh, no, I'm fine today.
Well, some will and some won't, Jennifer.
You know.
Well, I did three and no one needed help, so I worked on myself.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
And then I did all that fire stuff and I thought, oh, I probably made a mistake.
No, you haven't made. You're doing fine. It's when you get over that hesitancy of I probably made a mistake, because most of you have a good sense of what you're doing, then people will show up for you.
But if we do it to ourselves, we should get some relief.
Yeah, but it's harder.
Okay.
It's harder to work on yourself than somebody else.
They don't necessarily show up because I'm still waiting for somebody to call me that's mad and they won't do it.
Well, shucks.
I'm chomping at the bit to do that and nobody will get mad with me.
Well, okay, so you can't work on somebody that's mad. Are you saying that nobody you know is down in the dumps or feeling anxious or you know, I mean, spread out your vision a little bit. Most people have every day somebody, probably one, two, three people, would come up to them and start piping or whining or complaining about this, that, and the other. Nobody comes to you and complains about anything?
Oh, yeah, I've had opportunities to do that, but up until I learned this technique, you know, I used to get these phone calls that, you know, people that were angry. And now that I've, you know, have learned a way to deal with it, nobody that's angry calls me.
Well, I know, but that does not mean, well, let's...
I get plenty of opportunity to do other things.
Okay. But you see, okay, so what does that tell you? Everybody listen to this really carefully. This is very important that you all hear this. You know that you can ground out their anger, right?
Right.
There's no question. You're not... Oh, maybe I can do it. Gosh, I wonder if I can. Oh, maybe I'll get hurt if I do. No way. You know that you can do it, right?
I'm more like, bring it on.
Right. So nobody's going to come. Nobody's going to bring anger to you. Do you see what I'm saying?
I guess that's akin to a guy who, or a person who learns martial arts and then never has an opportunity to really use it.
Right. That's exactly right. Because your message is very clear to the universe. I know what I'm doing. And that's what magic is all about. But it takes some work to get there. We're learning how to prepare ourselves so we don't have to do magic so much. But you got to do a lot of magic to get there.
I have noticed that life just seems to take less effort than it previously did.
Exactly. That is what this is all about. Because you see, what you are all doing, what we're all doing, is we're putting our focus on the actual mechanics, the operating laws that create life. We're wanting to understand those. And so, by so doing, that is where our focus is. That is where we're going to attract. And so, yes, a lot of things that have troubled you all in life, that is causing you all to have physical pain, emotional pain, mental anxiety, whatever, mental doubt, that is going to leave you. But you have to find that out. You know, it's the whole point, like what Magnus said. He didn't know what to do, but in spite of that, it worked anyway. Just because he was doing, because his focus was, I want to do something. I want this to work the way I want it to work. And plus, he was doing Walking in Beauty. And so his intention got read by the other person. That is correct. And that's really good. And the whole study of magic is, how many different things can I do to create the result that I want. Not just one thing, many things I can do. So I'm just helping you all to expand your awareness and your thinking and your selectivity. But you need to work on people because then you will really see this stuff works. Works real well. Works really fast. So Dan, did you have a chance to do any magical energy handling, you know, fire handling, direct fire handling on people?
Yes, I've, it seems like almost every day I do something to try to take pain away from, you know, backache or headache or shoulder ache or
okay.
Whatever.
Okay, by direct flow or pulling out, you know? That kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm doing direct flow on this.
Okay. How's it working?
Probably better than 50% of the time. It works. It virtually always works to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But not all the time can I, you know, completely relieve the situation.
Okay. But that's really good. 50% is better than most doctors do. Would you not agree?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so that's pretty good. What do you notice, okay, when you work on someone and it does not work as well, what I do is, one, are you going through a number of different colors? Are you changing your colors?
No, I usually try to think it think it through and pick what I think is the most appropriate route to take.
Okay, that's good.
And then I don't really, after I've done that, I really guess I don't feel like I have a fallback position.
Okay, so what I do is I line up my fire colors. Sun yellow, yellow orange, red orange, deep red. I don't put in bright red so much because that's generally not a problem that people have in terms of pain. That's more useful in terms of adjusting a person's metabolism. Not saying it doesn't do healing, but I'm saying that when you're working primarily on pain, those sun yellow, yellow orange, red orange, and deep red are the ones that I'm primarily looking at. So now I start pulling yellow, orange, or red, generally red, orange, because I think that's my primary if it's pain.
That's what I pretty much
have. Right, okay. But then what I do is I'll pull for 30, 40 seconds or so, maybe not even, maybe 20 seconds. And then I'll look at yellow, orange, and pull. And then I'll look at deep red and pull. And I watch them to see how they react. With some people, I just watch them. With other people, I ask them to let me know when they feel it. And generally, they'll indicate that they feel it when I hit the color that most needs to be pulled.
That makes sense. I have not done it that way, but I'll try it.
And then, if it still isn't getting the result that you want, go back and throw in a box of sun yellow radiative above the area that is blocked. And I also suggest that you all, and nobody's mentioned that you've done this, is to feel with your output hand for the blockage. You can do that on yourself too. It's easier to do on somebody else. Being about 2-3 inches above the person, feel for where it feels spiky on your hand. And that tells you where you want to throw the sun yellow in. Just slightly above that. Jennifer, did you try that?
Yeah, my sister has this awful rash on her foot. And I took my right hand and it was just right at the top of this rash, it's like a 4-inch deal on her leg.
Yeah.
But I didn't have my colors to reference.
Just grab some things in the room.
If you feel a ridge, though, that's a sign of blockage.
Right, exactly.
And it needs to block the sun yellow.
Well, the sun yellow just helps to break the block.
Okay. And then it should, you shouldn't feel it anymore.
Right. That's right. And then your grounding out should go much quicker.
And then I should, put my left hand on it, look for a deep red source and grounded it?
Yeah. Pull the deep red out, or even direct flow the deep red from the bottom of her foot back up to her knee. Or from the bottom of her foot, yeah. To actually, in that case, I would do it from the bottom of the foot to the back of the knee. Because you wouldn't know that, but there's a major point on the back of the knee that cleans the heat out of the blood, which is probably what she's got, which is the most rashes, not all rashes, but most rashes are stuck deep red in the blood. Heat in the blood. And also yellow, orange, and red, orange in the blood. Not just deep red. But if you flow deep red through the area, because you're revitalizing the blood as you do that, it will generally take care of that.
So take care of the red and the yellow orange?
Yeah. That's right.
So I would, my input hand on the bottom of the foot and the output on the back of the knee?
Yeah.
And just flow the red through me and back into her.
Right. And then you can alternate. You can flow some deep red out and put in some clear.
Oh, okay. I'll have to go see her again.
You know, because that oxygenates the blood.
All right.
So you would flow deep red from, from you, clear from you?
No, you're converting the deep red as it goes across your shoulders into clear.
Okay.
You're not actually pulling a lot of deep red out of her, out of the other person. In that case, you're just circling it. You're circulating it.
Okay.
And you're putting back in, so you're pulling deep red out, putting back in clear, pulling deep red out, putting back in clear, pull deep red out, put deep red back in. So you can switch it.
Now, how do you switch from the red to the clear as it's going through?
Looking at the colors.
Okay, I got you. Looking at the colors, yeah.
Right. So I pull with my right hand, if that's my pulling hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you all probably see left hand. I do it backwards often, but it doesn't matter. Pull with your pulling hand as you look at deep red. Then as it comes up across your shoulders, then look at clear. And you're putting it back in clear. Then look at deep red and pull. Look at clear and flow.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
Is there any way this could be done from a distance? Because
not this specific technique, except over the phone you can.
Over the phone I can?
You can. It's a little tricky, but you can do it. What you have to do is, you have to have them put their pulling hand on the pain area or below, okay? And they're holding the phone in their output hand. You pull through the phone with your pulling hand. And if you want to recirculate it, put it back in the phone with your other hand. With your output hand. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Will I then, when I want to recycle, hold the phone with two hands?
Yeah, exactly. You have to.
Okay.
But it'll work.
Okay. Because I have a friend at work who has this pain. That was the day I asked him how he was doing, and he said it's too much. You know, just me thinking about it, I didn't do anything special because work environment is so busy that
I know.
Both of us standing out, they'll be looking at us like, what's going on here?
Well, I tell you a trick. You want to know a trick?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you ask him, how's your pain? Okay. Only you will know. But if you ask him, how is his pain, and he starts telling you, is he giving you permission or not?
Yes, I asked him, do you need help? He said yes.
Okay, so you've got permission. You don't have to take a lot of time to go deal with him. If you did that already, how about if you just stood with your hand on his shoulder? I mean, don't people do that at work all the time?
We do it. You know, I'm trying to avoid a situation that would be you know how people tag them to everything and...
Yeah, I know. You don't want to be obvious, right?
Yes.
Right. But I mean, if he's sitting, does he sit at his desk or what?
No, it's a technical job. We move around and walk around. And
okay, where is his pain? Where is his pain?
It's at the end of his spinal cord.
Okay. So it's a little harder then. because not to be obvious.
Yes.
Okay. But is there no sitting area by the water fountain or anything?
No.
No place where you guys sit?
We have a place we sit, but that would be out of the work area, and
okay.
You've got to be on break to do that.
Well, and you don't go on break at the same time?
We do, but in the mix of too many people.
Well, you can find a way, though, to do it without being obvious.
Okay.
You know, just watch how people interrelate, and people do touch one another, but you can also pull from a slight distance, too. If you can feel it, I gather you're pretty sensitive. If you can feel it with your pulling hand, like feel some heat coming out of him, just pull and ground.
And I might even take my chances and don't care about what people say. But the first day I asked him about it, he said he needs some help. You know, I thought about it and wished it goes away. I came back about an hour time. I said, how are you feeling? He said, great.
Okay.
You know, so
you operate a lot in spirit. I understand that. And that's really good. But I want you to learn how to do it in body, too.
Okay.
So that you know you can.
You like say, well, touch my hands here. And would that pull enough? Even though it's around the upper torso for that spine?
Well, see, what you could do, Magnus, is have him put his hand on the bottom of the spine. Could you not?
I can do that.
And you could just put your pulling hand close to his output hand. You don't even have to touch him.
Okay. But I will need colors, right?
Well, take your colors with you. Put them on a keychain.
Okay.
If we can see the color out there, though, it's available to us,
of
right?
Of course. You don't have to have it on your color. As long as the color you can find it, yes.
Well, we know we're getting the right shade or tone, though.
Because it's not that much, it's not rocket science. Anywhere close is good.
Okay.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, you can do it. It doesn't have to be obvious, but if necessary, call him up and try it over the phone. But you even did it without touching him or doing anything. So at least see yourself doing it. Start getting to see that you're doing this way. Because if it's just psychic, don't you see, it is not as duplicatable. And the more you get it where it's a process, is you know what you're doing, and you can do it sometimes very quickly. It doesn't take very long. So, any questions on any of this, how to pull fire and so forth? I mean, you all are doing fine with it. You just need to do more, a little more with it.
I have a question.
Sure.
When I read through the sheets for last week, it said that, like, if someone got pinched,
yeah,
to jerk red orange from them.
Right. That's like a burn.
Yeah.
Right.
How do you do, what's a jerk versus?
Well, it's like, let a lot of that color come to you real fast. Just it's sort of like seeing, instead of like I'm going to pull, it's just like just grab a bunch of it all at once.
Okay.
It's there, see, because if you burn yourself, what you want to do is pull red-orange in through your body. Because what we tend to do, or if you jam your finger in the door or something, or pinch yourself, same thing, we tend to push on it, try to push the pain out, which doesn't work. The idea is to spread it through the body as quick as you can, so that the area that got it is not so holding of that energy that it damages that area. Then flow it out. Get to a gram and flow it out. Of the whole body, through your feet. Then pour it out of the specific area that was hurt. It's a three-step process. But with someone else, it's the same thing. You can either push it through their body really fast, or I would grab the opposite side of the body and pull. And then clear red, orange, yellow, orange out of their body, whole body, and then out of the specific area that was hurt. And I've done that, and done it even with a person that jammed their thumb in the hinge side of the door shut. The kid threw the slammed the door shut, all the way shut. I mean, the hand was basically mangled, and they were screaming, and I pulled energy out, and 2 minutes later, there was no injury whatsoever. They couldn't believe it. They were like in shock almost just at what happened. Their whole hand transformed back to normal. See, you all need to have experiences like this so you know how powerful these things work.
You load it up with red, orange, and then clear it all out, right? Or you can just start pulling real hard red, orange.
You want to pull, see, okay, if I jam my thumb, I don't want to keep it in the thumb. I want to spread it throughout as much of the body as I can, because that dilutes it, right?
Right.
Then pull it out again of the whole body, because you've got now excess red orange in the whole body. Then pull it out of the specific area, the thumb.
So you don't add any red orange.
No.
Pull from the opposite
right
side of the body where it is to spread it out.
Right.
Gotcha.
So. I don't know if you all have this in your notes or not, but just before we leave fire, just to stimulate your thinking a little bit, so it'll be on the tape in case you don't. I don't want to take time for you to write this down. And you may have it in your notes, I'm just not sure, but there's a lot of key words we can use for fire energy. And it's really good to know a lot of these key words, because you all are saying, gosh, I want to work with people, I want to help people. But I'm not, in a lot of situations, people come and they complain about things to you, and you're not identifying that that is either too much or a lack of fire energy, and you can help them. So here are some of the keywords to listen for. Any issues involving initiative, determination, dedication, endeavor, commitment, confidence, self-respect, being active or taking action, being creative, being capable, willingness, acceptance, urge, desire, being unstoppable, being insatiable, fired up, excitable, inspiration, courage, bravado, having compulsion, fanaticism, being on a quest. All of these are fire. Now, I'll bet you that every one of you has somebody almost every day that comes to you with one of those words, with one of those problems, either needing or having too much of, and you could affect their lives simply by handling fire energy. So, water. Let's go on, because we want to cover water, the basics of water. Okay. Any liquid, of course, is water. That's physical water, is any liquid. Any fluid, you could say. The direction is west, where the rains come from. The Plains Indian tribes say that west looks within. So that gives you, well, intuition. It's inward. The tool is the cup or the chalice. Goblet. And the elemental is, you could say, unbeing or onbeing, either one. Either O-N-D-I-M-E or U-N-D-I-M-E. And they generally are seen in ponds, streams, and rivers, particularly where you have a lot of seagrass or river moss and so forth on the bottom, and you see it moving, but there's no real current that's moving it. Or sometimes, much like you'll see water spiders do, but when they're not water spiders, V-shaped movements on the water, or ripples, zigzag patterns that are smooth across a pond. Or oftentimes you'll watch in ponds or rivers or streams whirlpools, but again, there's nothing in the water to make the whirlpool, like a stick or a rock or anything. Just all of a sudden there's whirlpools here and there and so forth. Those are on beings. And they do, if you swim with ondines, they like to brush against you, and they feel much like a sylph, but more firm. Part of a person, the emotions. We say gut feelings. Now, in some systems, they say that spirit is water, but we don't. We say that the body and the emotions are tools of the spirit. Spirit is the part that you say I to. That's not your mind. And we say that the four elements exist for spirit to work with, so the four elements are tools of spirit also. Okay. And on the spirit level, compassion and empathic communication. And remember that passion is fire, but compassion is water. I.e. with passion, compassion. Or common passion, shared, or communal passion is water. Direction of view, as we said, is inward, introspect or introvert. Now that's a clue right there for why water doesn't move, because it's inner. And a lot of people avoid their inner landscape or try to hide their inner landscape, i.e. they hide their emotions. And if you hide them, they don't get aerated very well. They have no attention. A lot of people don't breathe very deeply either. So they're not aerating their emotions physically either, or their body fluids physically. The three colors, we're only going to work with the first one, physical, mundane level water, water blue. It's the only color we're going to work with intentionally. You may end up working with the others accidentally. But we want to, as much as possible, stay with water blue. It's a pretty light, in terms of the blues, it's a pretty bright blue. When you get deep blue and blue-black, you're going deeper down. Of course, it's a continuum as you go down, like looking into a pond, it gets a lake. It gets darker as it gets deeper. We're not, at this level, wanting to bring up are blue blacks because that's bank stuff, but unconscious stuff, and it takes a lot of time and energy to handle or work with. But you'll learn how to do that too, should it happen. Water characteristics. Now, one of the things I want to tell you about water is that this is the great unknown when it comes to society, most societies. Very few people know how to deal with anybody's water, including their own. Most people do not deal well with emotions. They deal mostly with what they call emotions that are not emotions, with anger, frustration, and so forth. Those are fire energies. Then there are a lot of quasi-emotions that we call feelings. And that's about as far as most people go. When it comes to real emotions, because you can't really name them so well, because you can't put air labels on water very effectively, most people have no clue. However, through the characteristics, you will come to understand water very well. And as we talk about the characteristics, please pay attention to the difference between water and air. They're very similar. In many, many cases, they're the same. So what I want you to see, if you can comprehend from the beginning, is how are they different? How is water different from air? Clarity or transparency? We have that in air, we have that in water. The main difference is that air is clearer than water. Water has a blue tint. And of course, you'll notice it's easier, generally, to figure out what somebody is thinking than how they're feeling. It's easier to interpret people's thoughts than their feelings. Feelings are more hidden. Not always, but in general. Now, water as a carrier obviously will carry much heavier things than air. On the physical level, I mean, you get a flood and it carries everything. Bridges, buildings, boats, trees, whatever. Cows, six-legged mooses. However, as far as fire energy is concerned, water has to move to carry a lot of fire. Still water does not carry a lot of fire because in that case, it is a surface-carrying phenomenon, primarily. But if you have current and flow, then it will carry more fire. Reflectivity. Air and water are both reflective. But they're somewhat different. A mirror is an air reflector. It's silvery. A lake is a water reflector. Still a mirror, but it has a lot of blue in it, i.e. picking up from the sky, of course. So in a sense, that's sort of interesting because then the blue is there because of the air blue of the sky in the water. Well, I mean the reflection of it in the water. But the fact is that the water is deeper, and therefore the color is deeper. Whereas a very shallow stream almost picks up no air blue coloration. Non-compressible. Now this is important. This is where air and water are different. Air is compressible, water is non-compressible. If water were compressible, there would be no such thing as fluid mechanics or what do we call it, hydraulics. But the fact is that any fluid that is water in a closed tube of any kind or hose exerts equal pressure either end, i.e. the water or the fluid does not compress. Try compressing your emotions. Does not work. If you try to compress a fluid too much, it mutates instead of compressing. Water is expandable. Physical water is slightly expandable because if you expand it too much, it also mutates, evaporates. But emotional water is even more expandable. It can expand considerably. Water is somewhat reactive to fire. Well, it's highly reactive to fire if you want to consider the danger side of it. It is reactive to fire less so safely. I mean, you can heat a much bigger amount of air in a room with a candle flame, but a candle flame is not going to boil much water, if any, maybe a tiny bit. Water, in terms of emotions, does not handle a lot of direct fire input, other than perhaps enthusiasm. Sun yellow it will handle better than red orange, for sure, or yellow orange. Enthusiasm is sun yellow. Maybe a little yellow orange. We said air has easy flow, water has smooth flow. You can verify that. You can put your hand in a tub of water or a stream or a lake, and you can't move it very fast. You can move it, but you have to move the water as well. So we call that smooth flow. There's a weight factor and a volume factor there. Shape malleable. They're both, air and water are both shape malleable. Although, the shape malleability, now don't just think about physical water, talking about the element water. It tends to have smoother bends than air shape malleable. So you crumple a piece of paper, that's air shape malleable. You fold up a towel or crumple a towel, that's water shape malleable. You all see the difference there? The towel does not form sharp, crisp edges. You all with me on this? Everybody is still alive?
By that one
yep.
more time.
Say it again?
Could you go through that one more time about...
A towel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you fold up a towel or a jacket or a piece of clothing, does it form sharp edges?
No.
But a piece of paper does.
Yeah.
So the piece of paper is air-shaped malleable. But the towel is water-shaped malleable. If you crumple up a car in an accident, which is that?
That would be air.
Yeah, correct. Good for you, Randy. But if you, say, you've got a big, a big balloon, and you smoosh it into a different shape, which shape malleable is that?
Well, I want to say water.
You're right. Well, what made you hesitate? Because your mind told you it's filled with air. It can't be water, didn't it?
Yeah. And
see, that's where your mind gets in your way. Because your magical knowledge tells you that if it is a smooth curve change of shape, it's water.
Yeah.
And that is correct. And when you think about the car all rumpled up, and you say, but that couldn't be air because that's a lot of density and metal and stuff. But the characteristic is air. And you're right. Water is mutable. It can change into the other elements. Your emotions change into the other elements. Emotions change into thought, inspirations, all kinds of things. Emotions change into fire energy. Emotions are what get us going into doing things. Making commitments, all kinds of fire things. Just think of Joan of Arc. Compassion changing to passion and so forth. Inspiration, intuition, spiritual, say, inspiration changing into taking action and so forth. Water is inherently stable. It's not flying all over the place. In of itself, it likes to stay in a container or where it is, if it's physical water energy. But even any water energy is relatively stable, probably more so than air, in fact. Insulator. Air and water are both insulators, as is earth. Because we haven't gotten to Earth yet, but this is the only characteristic that occurs in three elements, is insulator. And that tells you something about the universe we live in. You may not know what it tells you yet, but it definitely tells you something. Also tells you why people isolate so much and feel the need to draw boundaries and so forth, and fences. And lock up their possessions and so forth. So, water as an insulator is different from air as an insulator. I'll lead you to discover how they're different. But remember, we used an air thought as an insulator, i.e., I can hold a thought and insulate myself from somebody else's nattering or probing or mindless gossip or anything else. I'm insulated. How do you insulate yourself with water? Well, one way. Anybody ever heard of serenity? Calm spiritual water? That's one way. You can keep your water calm. It doesn't have to handle so much fire. How about that? Water is heavier. Well, it's obviously heavier than fire because fire is weightless. But it's heavier than air. And water is absorptive. Now, this is a different characteristic. We haven't run across this before. Water absorbs a lot of things. Emotions absorb attention, interest. Water absorbs air energy, fire energy, easily sun yellow. It will not take in the fire bands well unless you move it fast. If somebody is very angry at you and you want to be effective at dealing with that anger, run very fast. You guys don't laugh at anything. Oh, well. Wait, too late. I don't accept laughter after the fact. Not when called for. Sorry about that.
We're all on mute.
Oh.
We were laughing on the mute side.
Oh. Thank you. Muted laughter is very nice. I appreciate that. Thank you, Dan, for correcting me.
I have a question, Alan.
Yes.
Now, there's a few of the fire sort of characteristics that I'm kind of confusing with water. Say, compulsion.
That's not a characteristic.
Well, yes, I mean, well, but it's
you're talking about correspondence.
Correspondence, yeah.
Right. Yes, yes. Good for you. You got a triple star. Okay, so what does that tell you? What does that tell you about compulsion?
Well, compulsion is a flowing thing to me that seems to...
Did we not say we live in a four-element universe? Did we say that anything is all one element?
No.
Okay. Just because I said I gave you a list of fire correspondences, does that not mean that some of those couldn't have a little water in them or air?
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Now you're understanding. You guys are so advanced. It's amazing. Do you remember I said there's a difference between feelings and emotions?
Yeah.
Okay. Feelings have other things in them. Emotions are just water. That makes sense? You don't find people going around and said, I had the emotion of fear, do you? They say, I felt fear. Fear is a feeling, not an emotion. It's a mixture, it's not water. It's air, fire, and water. Primarily air, with quite a bit of fire and just a tiny bit of water. So you get the point here?
Yeah.
And that's why emotions are so unknown to us, because we tend to deal in just water, the water side of water. When we started out studying the beauty way, and beauty is water, but you see, nobody knew what it was. You ask the average person, what is beauty, and they're going to tell you a lot of things about how someone looks pretty and so forth. But that's not what it is. So you're on the right track there. But we have to study things one element at a time as much as we can, right?
Yeah, it would just be way too confusing to try to
figure out. At this point, yes.
Yeah.
Right. So, absorptive, you see, when someone, okay, if you find someone you really, really like to be around, what is it that absorbs your interest? It's their water. It's their emotions. It's their beauty. It's their harmony. It's their compassion. It's their serenity. It's their flow ability. It's a smooth flow. You can also go at it through the characteristics, too. And water is both an earth penetrator and an earth mover. And those, even though you're in your notes, that's given, unless it's been corrected, as one, those are actually two different characteristics. So when we do boxes, we'll do both, penetrator and mover. Water will enter Earth. Now, this is very important. So we talked a while ago about fire, and you all asked the question, I'm out in the woods, can I just throw my fire boxes into the Earth? Nope, because fire does not enter Earth. Water enters Earth. But you don't want to be throwing fire boxes into water either. So you find some mixture of air and water that you can put fire in. Copper happens to be that. Very good one. Okay, so, and water moves Earth. Anytime you have a flood, or it doesn't have to just be a flood, how about a rainstorm? How about any river? How about any creek? And how about your own emotions? They form your features over time. That's water moving Earth. And water is a direct mediator for Earth because of the fact that it allows air and fire to enter Earth and to work with Earth to make Earth more pliable, more acceptable, more useful. Then, of course, that's a mediator. Since it's the water that allows the air and the fire to enter the Earth, it is the mediator. It is what gets those energies into Earth so that we can make Earth into all the forms that we make it into. Otherwise, Earth would just sit there and be massive and resist. Insulator, resist. Same thing. Water is feminine polarity because it's absorptive, alluring, interesting, attracting, rather than like fire, outgoing and so forth. It is not. But it is not time feminine. It is like air, it's a mediator. So it is secondary feminine. Okay. Then, of course, you have all these lovely questions you can ask, go over about to get more familiar with the characteristics. But I want to ask you a question. So what is the major, Dan's the only person who can't answer this because he already knows the answer. What is the major difference between air and water in terms of the characteristics? Randy?
Water is mutable.
They're both mutable. I'm sorry? You said water is mutable?
Yeah.
They're both mutable. Air and water are both mutable.
Oh, that's right.
Water's denser.
There you go.
What's that?
It's denser.
Yeah.
It has weight and form, which air does not have. Air does not have form in of itself.
Makes sense.
So when you're working with the two, pay attention to that. When you're working with the recognition exercises and so forth, how are you going to know whether you're looking at an air characteristic or a water characteristic? That's what Jennifer said. Because the water characteristic has to have more form and shape and density. That's how you tell the difference. But you've got a whole table of differences to look at so that you don't get bored. And then you've got your water shortages and your water excesses. Now these are going to explain a lot of the body ailments that you're going to be looking at in people. A lot of them. Not just on the physical body level either. I mean, some of the blue-black stuff, shortages and excesses, are going to tell you a lot about people's behaviors. You may not be able to affect that directly right now, but you can certainly give them sun yellow. You can certainly give them air of just about any kind that would help, mediator and so forth. But here we got the deep stuff, the sociopaths, the schizophrenics, you know, and so forth. The suicidals.
They're all the ones I work with.
Well, there you go. There you go. And we're going to show you how to deal directly with that next week. Really interesting stuff. So get your basics of water down, because then when we show you how to do water circulation with another person and clear up their water, you'll know what we're talking about. Now, simple techniques for handling water. Water boxes, of course. And we don't have as many boxes to do because we're only doing them in one color, water blue. They affect more than air, more than fire in some ways. But they're more agreeable because they're more nurturing and nourishing. Better to flow the water in and out of you into your boxes, as it says, in the muscle groups more than the neural systems. That's fairly, your body knows how to do that. It's still up and down the arms. Don't breathe in water boxes. That's absurd. You'll drown. You can do dragon's technique breath out to get rid of excess water. Not a good idea to try to add water that way. Use your boxes to add, but if you've got some excess, like sinus stuff in the head, or wet, damp lung stuff, a lot of you have. You can get rid of it with dragon's breath. Breathe it out moist. Fog up your mirrors. Fog up other people's glasses. It's fun. Fog up your windshield. Not while driving. And then, of course, direct flow. Water flows very well because it seeks its own level. So it's pretty easy to direct flow water. Smooth flow. And then next week we're going to learn some dynamic methods of handling water that will blow your minds. Water bowls, mind-blowing, because you can deal with people that you can't deal with any other way. In a water bowl, you can communicate, but we'll talk about that. So like I say, sky above and earth below, with interest, I greet you. Also, please pay attention to the number 8 section. It says, tools to start obtaining or buying, making. You make your wand, your thama you get, your chalice, your plate, fireball. They give very good descriptions there, so I won't go take the time right now in class to go over it. But if you have any questions after looking at that, please ask me. In lab is a good place to ask, so that you don't, like some guy did one time, he made his wand and carved all kinds of symbols on it, and he had to start over, because that will not work. Follow directions. Okay, so like we've done with the other elements, do explorations 1, 2, and 3 exactly the same. It's just instead of air or fire, it's now water. You know, objects locating water by virtue of the characteristics, but not air, water. And objects and people around you in body parts, doing those differentials, you know, picking characteristics, fluid flow. Finding an example of smooth flow. Oh, yeah. Okay. Smooth flow. There's a river that flows right by our property. and it carries nice leaves and things along, smooth flow. Okay. What is advantage in that? What is disadvantage, because we use? What is constructive and what is destructive? Well, smooth flow is constructive in that the water gets from here to there very nicely. And destructive is it keeps going. If you want it here, but it's there, well, tough luck. It's gone. There's number four one that we haven't dealt with. Well, it's much like the air one, really. That one was to say, pick a characteristic. I have to find it here. hang on. Thumbing through madly. Pick a characteristic of water and relate it to an emotion. Here it is. Select a water characteristic. Identify the ways in which physical water behaves similar to your emotions. Okay. So, let's say a characteristic, clarity. How does water clarity, the water in a lake, compare to your emotional clarity? What do they say, still waters run deep? Emotional clarity. As you go deeper down, it's not as clear. That's simple enough. It gets deeper blue. It gets blue-black. Bank stuff is not very clear. It's compulsive as hell, but you can't figure it out. Highly reactive and so forth. That's easy. Questions or comments? Let's see, on any of this stuff. Randy?
Oh, very good class.
Well, thank you.
Learned a lot.
Yes, you're flowing water at me. I love it. Jennifer?
Oh, I'm fine.
Dan?
Yeah, I picked up some new things to try a little different way this week.
Good. That's what it's all about. That's why we do class. Magnus?
The class is great. But I have a question regarding things to buy. When is the best time I can call?
Oh, you want to call me?
Yes.
Shucks. If lab isn't a good time to come, try me generally, say, around 11 in the morning, mountain time. Does that work for you?
11 mountain time? Any day?
Yeah.
Okay. That will work for me, because I have some questions to, you know, brief questions.
Yeah, and if that isn't a good time, try me, like, either Thursday night or Friday night, something like that. But catch as catch can. But I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Okay, sir.
Here.
On what time is lab on Wednesday?
It's back to the original time, which is 6 Mountain Time.
Okay.
And the original number.
Yeah.
It was just that one time because I was in Grand Junction. I couldn't get back in time.
Now, it's the same number that we call for the regular class?
Hold on. I will tell you that. Okay. Lab is the same number as class and the same PIN number, right?
Okay, great. Because now that I don't have my other class, I'm free on Wednesdays.
Oh, Buena Vista. Come to lab. We'll have great sport.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have four blue-looking chips here. Which one is my water chip? I got one that's kind of metallic like.
Oh, that's electric blue. That's a fire color. The water blue is the brighter blue that isn't air blue.
Okay, so the light colored blue is my powder blue?
Yeah, the real light one is powder blue.
Okay, and so the water blue is the...
The brighter one close to that.
Okay, and the other one is what?
Electric blue.
And then this...
And which we'll use when we get the tools. That's a fire color, actually. That's what, you know, when people talk about white light?
Yeah.
They're talking about electric blue.
Okay. What's this deep blue one, then? Is it a watercolor, too?
Yeah, that's a deeper watercolor.
Okay.
That's the deep blue of water. We're not going to play with that, but you may experience that when you start working with people, so it's good to know what it is.
Okay.
Okay. Then thank you all. We're done.
Thanks, Alan.
That's it.